Hello and welcome to the J Train Podcast. We have an alone episode this week. I tell you a story about a cameo I received, and then we get into some mailbag question and luxury lounge, and then we do the news.
Welcome to the new J Train Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the J Train Podcast. It's J Train, Jared Fried, coming live from New York City. We're here every Monday with your emails, your stories, your questions. And I say it every episode. I'll say it again. Thank you for being a listener. Thank you for being a viewer on YouTube. We love the YouTube watchers. Keep commenting on YouTube. Keep listening. Share, share, share. Tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend. Tell a friend about this show. And you can send your emails, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Now, this show is a safe space for your questions and complaints. That's what we are here for, your questions and your complaints. You can complain about anything. I'm never going to look at you and go, oh, no, but there's other things. There's people dying. Not here. Not in the JCU. Not in the J Train Cinematic Universe. Complain about anything you'd like. Send it in, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Email in. Send your complaint. Also, your questions. If you're dealing with someone, something going on. And I understand why you'd write a podcast. I understand why you wouldn't go to family and friends because, yeah, you know, maybe you're testing it out here before you go to family and friends with your issue. Maybe you're wondering, what do I sound like? I do that a lot because we do a segment here called Am I Crazy Dog? That's me being like, is this sound? We should be able to say the words, get them out there. This is a big issue with society. Yeah, we'll talk about society. These days, if you even question, if you even wonder aloud if something should irk you, someone goes, oh, don't do that. No. You said the thing. Sometimes you have to say the words. To hear yourself, to go, I do sound kind of crappy. That's how we're going to start today's episode. A little coffee with J Train. I do cameos. This is me promoting my cameo. You can find me there. I miss a lot of cameos. And I charge more just because I was charging less. And it's not like I'm getting all of these cameo requests, but then I would miss them. And it was as if I felt like I was burning a $20 bill. And it felt frivolous, felt wasteful. I felt like I wasn't being grateful enough that someone would ask me to do cameo. My history with cameo, I didn't want to do it at first. I thought, who would want to hear from me? Why would I get paid to say happy birthday to someone? And then the more I thought about it, not the more I thought about it, then I was convinced by the cameo people. They were on, when they came out, they were recruiting people. They would call you. They'd get your number. They'd say, come on, join, please do it. Put yourself on there. See what happens. And my thing was I didn't think highly enough of myself to go on there. And I think a lot of people felt that way. It's like, no, this is for like a celebrity, you know, like I'm someone who yells at The Bachelor. And then I put myself on there and I put it on pretty cheap and I started getting these requests. And I did realize the value in it right away. The value is if you're someone who watches a Bravo show and you and your friend joke about this Bravo celebrity, it is pretty cool to have that Bravo person be right on your phone, looking you in the eye, saying your name, saying, hey, happy birthday. And then you go to that friend who you share that show with and you go, oh my God, can you believe it? And look at, they shared in our inside jokes. They made the jokes I told them to say. And that's when I got it. Because it doesn't have to be I'm bringing up Bravo people because they're like on the cusp of things. So listen, if you sent a cameo request to Brad Pitt, that'd be pretty cool. But if you're someone who shares memes from one specific person with another specific person, and then suddenly you know, they're saying happy birthday to you, I understood the value. And I do understand how much that means to someone. So I am on Cameo, and then I raised my price because I didn't want to like disappoint someone. I didn't want to get asked to do one and they planned on it. And listen, maybe you're out there, maybe you're listening or watching and you've been disappointed by me. Maybe you've, you know, I've missed your Cameo opportunity. I've had people DM me, hey, it's sitting there. Do you mind doing it? I've been waiting. It's for a birthday. It's for, and I've gotten to those, but it is definitely something that falls by the wayside for me. It's not my main job. It's not my source of income. So you forget about it and you go, and also you get the email being like, you've been requested. And then you kind of go, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and Cameo isn't on your wheel of apps that you check. It's not on the Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, email, text rotation. So you forget. Then the next email you get is, your Cameo's expired. And you're like, damn it. And then I just see money just burst into flames. I see, you know, someone who's like, I used to be a fan. I used to like you. And I'm like, and I feel bad. My genuine feeling is badness. So I like being on Cameo because I do get a lot of goodness feeling from it. I do feel good when someone's like, oh my God, that was so funny. I'm so happy. My friend and I love you. And you wish them a happy birthday. It made the birthday. That makes me feel like $1 million. And then when I miss it and someone's like, hey, you missed it, I feel horrible. This is all to say, I had a Cameo experience last weekend. And I got to talk about this because I've really not gotten a bad review for my Cameos. I do more than I think most would do. I tend to like make a joke. I go off the cuff. I make the joke that I think is appropriate to make. So I received this one, and here's the message I received. And we'll take out everything that would maybe identify them, but I don't even think anything identifies them. Here's the, and what happens on Cameo is it gives you an instruction, and then you can read it off the screen while you videotape yourself. So you can see the words and stuff. So it's actually very user-friendly from my side of things. When you get requested as a Cameo, it is much harder than if someone, and sometimes I get DMs like, hey, it's my, you know, my boyfriend's birthday and we want you to say happy birthday to him. And I've done those in the past, but like, that's not really user-friendly to me because I have to go on the camera, I have to remember their name, I have to remember the things they told me. With Cameo, it's right on the screen in front of you. So here's the message I got. Here's the instructions that this person's dad, two women's dad, turning 61 and breaking down, knee, bunion, stomach problems, choking on his food. And that's not because you're old, it's because you're Jewish. Got an AirPod stuck in an ear, but that's a separate issue. This is the message I'm getting. So, and listen, this isn't it might sound crazy, but these are the instructions I'm getting. I have gotten instructions that have been wild. They've been like, tell them that they're a piece of shit and that I can't wait to see them on Saturday. This is a little bizarre. So here's the instructions. Turning 61 and breaking down. Knee, bunion, stomach problems, choking on his food. But that's not because you're old. It's because you're Jewish. Okay, I don't get that. But got an AirPod stuck in his ear, but that's a separate issue. Thanks for bringing everyone to my show in Dania Beach. So I guess this guy brought everyone to my show in Dania Beach. Sorry they were complaining that it took so long to get there. Loves and goes to comedy shows, thinks he's a comedian, performed a bit on his 60th birthday party, lives in Miami, loves his family, playing racket sports, cheap, and thinks his four kids spend all his money. Insert Jew joke. That's what they wrote to me. Happy wife named blank. Happy life, can't stop snacking in the middle of the night, hang in there, just be happy you didn't give another story worth subscription. So that's the instructions I got. What do you do with it? Am I going to, honestly, do I want to go, hey, you old fuck, I heard you choke on food because you're a Jew? Like, I don't really understand that joke. And at this point, I'm like, what am I going to do? It's from his two daughters. They just wrote this pretty incoherent thing that wants me to do Jewish jokes, I guess. It's a little sporadic. I don't know. But that is where I'm left in my cameo journey. So I'm flying to Chicago. I was like, and I got a message from one of the daughters, like, hey, I sent you this cameo request. Can you get it done? And I saw that and I said, let me go. I'm walking to the gate and I made this video. Now, my thought was, I'm going to make a video that makes fun of the daughters and the dad will like that. If the dad likes comedy, he definitely loves making fun of his daughters. They said that she spends all their money. Yeah, I think this is the cameo I would make. So this is the one I made based on what they wrote to me.
Hello, Ron. It's your boy, J Train, the Wizard of Oz, the Sultan of Scream, the Bored Lord, and Mackenzie Ryan and I want to wish you a very happy 61st birthday.
Good start.
You're a year older, you're a year wiser, and I know it's weird that Mackenzie and Ryan, they texted me this. They said that you've gotten a year sexier.
See, fun.
Yeah, you guys got some weird family issues going on, but they said that you brought them to my show in Dania Beach, and all they did was complain about how long it took to get there. And that doesn't surprise me. Their message to me about you, I don't know who it's more insulting for, you or me. They wrote, turning 61 and breaking down, knee, bunion, stomach problems. A knee bunion, stomach problem. They don't know how to use commas, apparently. Choking on his food. Are you okay, Ron? You're 60. My parents are 66. They don't have these issues. And then got an AirPod stuck in an ear, but that's a separate issue. I think those all go together. So you're limping around, shitting yourself with an AirPod in one ear that you can't get out? I think you're doing better than they're describing you. But you love comedy shows, which I love. That is an appreciation that I appreciate. And then they say lives in Miami Beach, loves his family, playing racket sports, cheaps and thinks his four kids spend all his money. Insert Jew joke. See, that's where it gets insulting for me. What kind of comedy do you think I do? Jews are cheap? Ron, I don't know what you did to these kids to make them so self-loathing as Jews, but they said that your wife is happy, Amira, and you can't stop snacking in the middle of the night. So I feel I feel related to Ron, you more than your daughters do. I feel like I know you, and I think you should send this message to them to let them know, hey, you are spending all of Ron's money, okay? Why don't you give your dad a hug every now and again and thank him instead of this message where you tell him he's dying? And maybe get him a doctor's appointment. Like, let's, like, get him fixed up. All right, I got to fly. They already started boarding. Happy birthday, Ron. I love you. Your daughters love you, I think. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. I'm missing my section boarding because your daughters bought you a cameo with your own money. Happy birthday, Ron.
I think I did the job. Don't you think? So I sent that feeling like I did the job. And again, these cameos are awkward. You want to like make it fun. You want to do the joke. Like, I'm not going to sit there when they say insert Jew joke here. I'm sorry. This is not going to be me doing a roast. I'm not going to like write 10 minutes for you that I would do on the Tonight Show. It's going to be an off the cuff fun thing. And the joke to me is to make fun of the daughters who wrote a horrific message to a comedian that their dad seems to like and brought a bunch of people to see. I think the dad would get it, to be honest. V, am I out of turn here?
No, this is like,
that feels like what the only direction for me to take in this cameo journey.
Loved it.
And I get on the flight. I go to Chicago. I get off the flight and I check my DMs and I have this DM. And it's Jared. This is Blank's sister, Mackenzie. Well, I've said that. This is Ryan's sister, Mackenzie. Thanks for making the cameo for our dad, Ron. The Cameo instructions were very unclear. There was a 250 character limit, which is why it was written like that with no commas, etc. If you don't understand that the commas thing was just me fucking with you, I don't think you understand anything. Each comma is a character, and we even paid extra for the additional 400. I guess you get 400 more characters if you pay more. We were trying to give you a strong framework to go off, not use against us. We actually spent almost 2 hours on this, hoping you'd have a lot of material. Yeah, I did, about you being shitty to your dad. It came off pretty offensive, not gonna lie. And it's meant to be a gift from us. How do they not understand that they are the joke in this thing? Some people don't see the joke. They were so mean to their dad, and then they're like, wait, you made fun of us? You're offensive? The intention was for you to make jokes about him using what we provided, not imply we think so poorly of him. Yeah, that's the joke. We are big fans. We brought 17 people to your show in Dania Beach. That's where it becomes annoying. This is what people do. They do, and Dan St. Germain and I talked about it on last episode. It's like the internet commenters have evolved. They've evolved into, let me tell you why you're a bad person for also offending me by your joke. So she's saying, we brought 17 people. You're lucky you can pay rent because of us. We can't give them this video as a gift. Is there any way you can redo it? The idea, also, this person's not a great salesman. The idea that, I want to redo it and do better for you after you told me I was offensive to you when I made the joke about you. That, and we brought 17 people, so you better do a good job. Don't you think, and listen, I'm saying this, and I sent it to a bunch of people. I was like, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me that I missed the joke. And they're like, no, that's the joke you make. I sent it to professional comedians. So I'm going to say that these two sisters are delusional, but they paid for a cameo, so I made another one. Hello, Ron. It's your boy, J Train, the Wizard of Oz, the Salt,
same
the
start.
Scream, the Board.
That's what gets me rolling.
Lord. And Ryan McKenzie and I want to wish you a very happy birthday. That's right. You're a year older. You're a year wiser. And I've been talking with Ryan McKenzie about it. You're sexier. Yeah,
so
you're
I do
killing
that for
it,
everyone.
Ron. Now, they wrote a whole message to me on what they want me to say to you. And I did this video already. I actually made this video where I made fun of your daughters for how they sounded in their message to me. And I made some jokes about them, and I said that they think that you have a bunion issue and that you have an AirPod that's stuck in your ear, and they really sounded like they made you out to sound like you were on death's doorstep, which I thought was funny. Mackenzie had a little cry about it. She said, why are you making fun of us? We paid for a video where you'd make fun of our dad. They had this whole thing about like Jew jokes they wanted me to do for you. They said you're cheap and you don't like spending money. This is my second video. I think I'm being meaner to them here than I was there. And then Mackenzie wrote me a DM. We went to your show, and we, 17 of us, and it was offensive. She said, called it offensive. Ron, I like you. You brought your family to a show that was way too far away. You had to listen. Now I know what you're dealing with. You had to listen to Ryan and Mackenzie complain about the ride, how long it was. Yeah.
They sound horrific.
I can't believe I. Okay, so they go, you live in Miami Beach, you love your family and playing racket sports. Ron, I think I like you. Let's hang out, man. And then she says, he thinks his four kids spend all his money. Insert Jew joke. That's what they wrote. That's not really what I do. But here you go. Ron's so cheap, he won't spring for the nice candles for his menorah. Did we do the Jew joke, Mackenzie?
Did I get him?
Listen, if this one's not good enough, I will send you back double the money you spent just to never deal with this family ever again. Ron, I hope you have a nice birthday. The only way it's going to be nice is that if you're not near Ryan and Mackenzie, who get offended by stupid videos where I messed with them a little bit. I hope you have a great day, Ron. I like you. You like comedy. I don't know about the daughters. So I'm happy they said you. Oh, they got you a StoryWorth subscription. Yeah, that I listen. We promote that on the podcast. I love StoryWorth. I think it's a good idea at heart, but my parents would be like, "Why are you asking me all these stupid questions?" So listen, I'm happy you guys came to the show and had fun. Apparently, it wasn't enough for Mackenzie. She thinks she deserves, you know, more with her price of admission, like a video where I make fun of you. You know, Ron's so cheap. He only gets half a keeper to cover his head with on the high holidays. Is that what you wanted? I don't know. Happy birthday, Ron. I think you're cool. Mackenzie gets offended at jokes on her, but wants me to make fun of you for having a bunion and not being able to handle your food anymore. Have a happy birthday. Happy birthday. I've also have 100% approval rating on this app, and it's crazy. I've never gotten a message like Mackenzie's never. Ever. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Join in. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ron. No wonder he's in such bad health. He probably wants to die so he doesn't have to deal with his daughters anymore. Happy birthday to you.
Now, listen, I'm willing to be told I'm crazy. I want you guys to chime in the YouTube comments. Haven't heard back from the daughters since that second video. I have all the needed receipts here from making the video. And, you know, I would love to hear from you guys. Because, listen, this is an am I crazy dog moment. Because maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm out of my mind. Maybe I shouldn't have made, you know, the cameo that made fun of the people who got it for their dad. But I actually think the joke works. I think it's fun to be like, hey, look at what your daughters wrote in about to you. Hey, look what your daughters think of you. That's what I told him. And I've done that. Honestly, I've done that for other people. I've had people DM me and they're like, can you make a video for my friend's birthday? And I make fun of the person who DM me because they don't even follow me. And they decide not to pay me over Cameo. So you guys can weigh in the comments. Let's do a mailbag. Boyfriend keeps telling me when girls hit on him. Now, in a vacuum, this sounds bad. Hey, look at all these women hitting on your boy. I do understand how telling your significant other that you've been hit on is fun and flirty for you and the significant other. Shows, I understand, maybe this is not a healthy way to look at it, but I do think it's a way to look at it. It shows, oh, I'm wanted. Look at me. I'm out here. And you know the limits to push with your significant other. You know when you can tell them. It's not like you're going up to your girlfriend and being like, this woman whispering in my ear, your girlfriend's an ugly, you know, is an ugly and you should fuck me instead. That's usually not how these things go. What they go is, oh, you should see there was a girl looking at me. And honestly, most guys are misjudging and think more of themselves than they are. And most girlfriends go, yeah, who would want you? And that's kind of, to me, the healthy relationship. To me, this is like your kid. I think like when your kid runs away from home and is like packing their Barbie suitcase and they're like, I'm leaving. I'm going. And the fun, healthy thing for a parent to do is to go, ta-ta, good luck. Have fun out there. Same with your boyfriend being like he was hit on. It's like, whoa, you should go date her then. She'd be so lucky. You were out in St. Patty's Day and maybe you met someone special. Maybe you got a little lucky. And you're going to want to groom your little leprechaun down there just in case you get lucky again. Manscaped has you covered with everything you need to shape up. Your new Lucky Charm is going to be their Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. It comes with two interchangeable blade heads, one for a classic trim and another foil blade to go smooth. I love Manscaped. I love what they're doing. They're making your bathroom a spa. They have all these great products to take care of you downstairs. The thing is waterproof. It has a spotlight so you can see what you're doing. It comes with a compact case that's perfect for travel. I bring it with me everywhere. Whether you're shaping up below the belt or dealing with your neck beard, Manscaped has the tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with code JTRAIN at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with code JTRAIN at manscaped.com. This St. Patrick's Day, make sure your little hairy leprechaun is luckier than ever with Manscaped.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How do you recharge? Do you need a night out with friends or do you like time alone? It's important to build a social life that doesn't drain you, but still gives you the connection you need. Therapy can help you figure out what that looks like for you. BetterHelp is amazing. Their trained therapists will work with you to help you set boundaries, learn positive coping skills, and become the best version of yourself. Talk to your therapist over video call, phone, or even by message, whatever works for you. I love that BetterHelp has made therapy more accessible. It's made it cheaper. It's made it so you can do it in the car or while you go on a walk. It's made it so you don't have to just Google therapists. You can find a whole marketplace of people. And if you don't like who they match you up with, you can switch right away. Just take a quiz. You get matched with a therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/JTrain. To get 10% off your first month, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/JTrain. If you're not a fan of these freezing cold March temperatures, it's time to book that trip to the Bahamas. Get your tickets, grab your Base luggage, and get ready for some fun in the sun. With Base, there's room for everything. Multiple pairs of flip-flops, that big sun hat, and pockets for all the lotion, cream, and sunscreen you need. Base luggage is truly the best with 360-degree gliding wheels, a cushion handle, a built-in weight indicator, and washable bags for your dirty clothes. Base has you covered. For shorter trips, their Weekender bag is super functional with a place to store your shoes separately. I'm a Base user. I go all over the country. You know I travel every weekend. My Base luggage is with me everywhere I go. It fits everything. It fits so much that I even bring some golf stuff with me just in case. So I'm bringing extra stuff I don't even use because I have the room. Whether you're packing for a quick trip or looking to breeze through the security line, Base has your personal items covered. Right now, Base is offering my listeners 15% off your first purchase by visiting basetravel.com/JTrain. Go to basetravel.com/JTrain for 15% off your first purchase. That's BEIS travel.com/JTrain. So let's get into the mailbag question. Jared, longtime listener and fan, first time writing in. I have a dating question I'm stumped on and could really use your wise insight and advice. I'm 30, female, just started a relationship with a really great guy, 30, male, who I'm very excited about. So far, all green flags except one thing. He regularly tells me about when other women hit on him. I wouldn't mind hearing it. I guess, again, to go back to what I just said, the context is what makes for it. If a girl I was dating was like, everyone keeps hitting on me. Oh my God, it's so hard to walk through these streets. All I want to do is give out hand jobs everywhere I go. I'd be like, oh, that's a lot. That's a lot to tell me. It's another thing to go, you won't believe what happened today. It has to be a special thing. You won't believe what happened. This guy, he was on the corner of the street. He looked at me, he said, love your ass. And it's like, oh, okay, good. I agree with that guy. That's why I'm, you know, investing in you. I like your ass too. So obviously I find my boyfriend very attractive. So I'm not surprised that other women do too. I just don't really want to hear about it. It's not that it makes me jealous exactly, but it does make my flight instincts say, this guy isn't serious and he's going to hurt you and makes me want to pull away. I'd never heard the term flight instincts, but I will say, if that's your first move, I think you got to let him know that this doesn't work for you in the course of the flirting conversation. He might think it's flirting. I guess I just don't get why a guy would feel the need to tell their partner when they get hit on. This is not the first person I've been with that does this. Okay, you have to wonder, listen, that you might be misjudging this. I'm midway through this email. I'm just saying, I'm not, you're the emailer. I can only speak to the emailer. I'm not saying you are. I'm not looking to blame you. These two could be monsters that are trying to somehow gaslight you into kind of being subservient to them via this, look at all these other women trying to get with me. You're so lucky you should be with me. That could be where it goes. I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying when you have two different boyfriends, and I have also been in relationships where we've chit-chatted about getting hit on. So, and never felt that that was being done manipulative way. So, in fact, I've never been in a relationship where the guy doesn't, for some reason, feel the need to tell me when he gets hit on.
I find this odd, particularly since I never share when I get hit on. I just don't think it's a big deal, and I wouldn't want to make my partner feel bad unnecessarily. So, Jared, what do you think? Why would a guy feel like he should tell his girlfriend whenever he gets hit on? When it seems like sharing that could only make her feel bad, insecure, or jealous. See, I don't think those are the only options for telling your girlfriend that you got hit on. To me, it could also go the way of fun and flirty. When you say, I've never been in a relationship where the guy doesn't for some reason feel the need to tell me he gets hit on. So every relationship you've been in has made you feel bad for letting you know that they've been hit on. I don't think all of these guys are simply manipulative monsters. I think it's okay to feel. I can't tell you how to feel. I think it's okay to be like, yeah, that bothers me. I think also you got to understand, you got to look inside yourself. Why does it bother me? Was this meant to just be fun and flirty? Again, it's okay to not be up for that game too. Why do you think guys do it intentionally to make their partner feel jealous? I don't think that's the case. It can be. That's the problem with this question is like, yeah, you might be right or you might be totally wrong. Or do they genuinely think that's something their partner should know? Also, how should I go about addressing this, if at all, without sounding like a jealous girlfriend? Any thought or explanation you have on this would be greatly appreciated. This is a tough one because I don't think bringing up your feelings is a bad thing. I think telling someone I didn't like how that tasted is a really good way to put it. I didn't like, you know, you told me, but I think you also have to be available to criticism to what is making you feel bad. And again, that goes against a lot of the advice that I talk about here where it's like, you know, it's okay to feel, you know, it's okay for those two girls who got the cameo to feel the way they felt. It's also okay for me to say, I think you missed the intention with which I made you feel that way. Now we're negotiating. So I was willing, and I still am willing with the cameo, to go, yeah, I might have missed the mark. That's okay. I think also what people are looking for is for you to say, maybe I missed the mark too. And I think that makes for a healthy debate and conversation. If you're going to say you were offensive for making that cameo, and then I say, well, you didn't see that, like, I was making a joke about how you guys sounded a little bit annoying, and now I was making fun of you, these annoying daughters to the dad, who probably understands that his daughters are a little bit annoying too. You don't get that. And if you can't move an inch, then this ends. Same with this. If the boyfriend's coming to you, and again, the context of every single relationship you've ever been in, a guy has told you he's been hit on and it's made you feel bad. Okay, I don't think every guy you've dated was this monster. I don't think every guy you dated did it with the intention of making you feel jealous so that you would pry on to him and need him so that you would never leave him again. Do I think that's a possibility? Of course. So I would address it. I would address it with him and I would address it with myself. And listen, let me just say, bringing up, you wouldn't believe this girl. She was like talking to me today and it felt like she was hitting on me. Hey, I don't want to hear about that. No, it meant nothing to me. It might actually, and I would say to you, and I think you're afraid of where this conversation goes. So maybe you're stopping it short. Because you saying, I don't like to hear that, and him saying, why? I'm just telling you because it was so strange to me. And also, I'm with you. Like, it might even show you how much these people care about you. Maybe it's stopping you from being intimate with these people in a certain way. Now, if you're in the bar together, I guess the fun, intimate way is like you're in the bar together, that guy's checking you out. He can admit to when you're getting hit on. You can admit to when he's getting hit on. That's the fun, flirty way. Now, when you hear about it afterwards and you don't see it, now you're kind of left to your imagination. But I don't think the partner is doing it to make you jealous. I've never done it to make someone feel jealous. That's okay to feel jealousy. You can go, oh shit, I shouldn't tell this to her. But but to me, if I'm to give advice, if I'm to look at this relationship like from, you know, 360 feet in the air, I would say to you, I don't know, I think like I would want less things hid from me than more. Because what this goes down the road of, and I always hear this from like guys I'm buddies with, you hear a lot of times, oh, I could never tell so-and-so that. Oh, she'd get crazy. Oh, she'd get mad. And it's like, I don't know if that helps a relationship. Yeah, there's things you don't say. There's class. There's ways to be classy. Hey, that girl just kept checking out my crotch, and it took a lot for me not to go over there and let her suck it. No, that's mean. That's different than I was in line at Starbucks and this girl gave me her number. It was crazy. And look at, here's the number. I think I would tell that to my significant other. And if they said to me, I don't want to hear that, I would be like, well, I'm just telling you the story that happened today. That's the other thing. There's less to talk about in a relationship. You got a lot less variables. Sometimes you're drumming up shit so that you two have something to like gab about. This to me is a gabbing topic. So I think the answer is twofold. You tell him, I don't like the way that tasted. Also, you let him explain why he told you that. Why are you telling me this? Oh, I thought it was funny. And it might be just that. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Keep sending in your emails. We love, this is the safe space for all your questions and complaints. All of them. Luxury lounge. Again, you can complain about anything. It's about luxury lounge. This is a niche one. Okay. I'm friends with a bunch of queer people, even though I'm personally straight and cis. What's the meaning of cis? Is that white? I see it. Cisgender. The word cisgender, often shortened to cis, sometimes cissexual, describes a person whose gender identity corresponds to their sex assigned at birth, i.e. someone who's not transgender. The prefix cis is Latin and means on this side of. Okay. I guess I never would have known. So I guess if you're straight and cisgender, so you're saying I am male and what you'd expect?
Or, no, just
I might be wrong.
No, I think they're just being like, this is my sexuality. Oh, by the way, I am a male at birth.
Okay, so I'm friends with, or maybe cis means I am what I was at birth.
Yeah, because if I was a transgendered woman, I would say I'm straight.
Right, I'm straight. So I'm straight and cis means I'm straight and I am the gender I was at birth.
Mm-hmm. And if you are a transgender man and straight?
I'm straight and transgender. That means I am a different gender than I was at birth, but I'm into women.
Correct.
That makes, okay. It does get confusing. I think, you know, everyone should be afforded this amount of space. I end up at a lot of drag performances and gay nightclubs as the token straight friend they've invited along. Recently, one person in our friend group started developing their performance into like a sexy, trashy trailer park clown. I gotta say, the drag world is so interesting. They're like professional wrestlers. Like they have a persona. I mean, sexy, trashy trailer park clown, that could be a WWE wrestler. Or it could be someone doing a drag race character. I understand that. I mean, clown. I mean, you could go sexy, trashy, trailer back. They've done, I mean, that is a lot. That's a full Sunday. They've put together a lot of different flavors to make this one. But I could, to me, I see it. I can see the sexy trailer trashy trailer park clown. I don't, you know, it's interesting. Trailer park, trashy trailer park. To me, okay. As soon as they switched from glam drag to this new character, they started drawing on a false tooth gap. So I guess they took a marker and they marked the middle of their teeth to look like they had a gap tooth situation, because to go more into the sexy, trashy trailer park clown character. It's now a signature piece of their drag, so the gap is part of every look. I have gappy teeth, and I don't really like a trait of mine being co-opted for a character that's played as trashy and dumb. But I also recognize that if I walked up to this person and said, hey, I want to talk to you about this, they might take it as a straight person asking them to change their art. Instead, I'm secretly hoping another performer calls them out one day. Let me know what you think. Woo. This is maybe the most 2024 email I've ever received. And I have to say, I understand all of the awkwardness. To me, if this is a friend, and I do think it's a little rude of them. You're in a group of friends. One of your group, you go, I'm going to be a trashy clown, and I'm from the trailer parks. And then you dress up as one of your friends in the group as their identifiable thing. I'd be like, it's a little awkward. You thought of their look to describe something that is to be something that is described as trashy trailer park. I don't know. If someone was like, I'm dressing up as, you know, Jewish comedian, loud Jewish comedian, and then they like got dressed like in a black t-shirt and like stuffed their shirt to make themselves look like, you know, the shape of a tissue box, I'd be like, what the fuck? I'd be like, that's me. And where this gets, the luxury lounge complaint of this all is it's very easy when you live in a world where it's punch up, punch down. And that's kind of where this goes into, because when you say they might take it as a straight person asking them to change their art, how about we change that? To me, this is a friend asking a friend, telling a friend that they're being mean to them. Like if we take it down to its most schoolyard, bully, not bully, bully bullying kind of essence, it's, hey, we're friends. We go out all the time. I have a gap tooth. Now you're using a gap tooth to describe trashy trailer park clown. I think you got a leg to stand on, but that's the problem, is if they wanted you to be the evil one, they can do it. And I think you got to trust your friend to be able to say, hey, I feel badly. Like, can you understand why I feel badly? I think even, but it is interesting, like even the way you're coming at it, where you're saying, I don't like a trait of mine being co-opted. Like even that languaging, you're entering into the buzzy victim bully world that you're like really afraid of too. Because again, in my mind, if you weren't friends, I would disagree with you. I would actually go, yeah, you went to a show. They don't know you. They did trashy trailer park clown. They took a thing with the gap tooth. They didn't know you in their worldview that you could feel bad about this. But this is a friend. Recently, one person in our friend group started developing their performance into like the sexy trailer park park clown, into like a sexy, trashy trailer park clown. So we don't know if they call it that too. They might call it, hey, I'm fun, sexy clown. And then you have taken it. I don't know. I'm just saying, I agree with your complaint. The complaint of my friend now dresses as me to make a cartoon on stage. I'd be like, is anyone else seeing this? What's going on here? I'm with you. Now, if you walked into a show, I would be less on your side. This person's co-opted my community of gap tooth people. It's like, I don't know. I'd be like, you're at a show. They didn't outwardly try to offend you. I think we have to take intent. I do think maybe your friend's intent was good. Like, I want to do this cool character. When they went to their world to try and create the character, they looked around, they see what you look like, and they did this thing, and you go, what the fuck is this? I think it's okay to go up to them as a friend. When you're way too busy to cook, don't resort to some greasy $3 for $3 deal. Factor makes it easy to stick to your health goals and eat incredible food with their chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals that are ready in only 2 minutes. Just heat them up in the microwave or skillet and you're good to go. I'm a huge fan of Factor because I am someone who's looking for something that's healthy, that's delicious, that's creative, that keeps you on your plan. That's what keeps you going in the health world, is having variety. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is actually good for you. They even have breakfast, midday snacks, juices, and desserts. So no matter what you're in the mood for, Factor has you covered. And listen, you want to cook healthier for yourself. It takes a lot of time. The minute you start pushing that off is the minute you make bad decisions for yourself. Factor is going to be quick, easy, creative, delicious, healthy. Head to factormeals.com/JTrain50. Use code JTrain50 to get 50% off. That's code JTrain50 at factormeals.com/JTrain50 to get 50% off. Fellas, listen up. MeUndies has the next accessory in your arsenal for looking and feeling great below the belt. The contoured pouch and ball caddy will make you look huge. With their micro-modal sling that keeps everything lifted and separated. It's also super soft, so you'll never have to sacrifice comfort for a giant dong. I love what MeUndies is doing. They're creating a whole new category of underwear. Listen, you want to go out, you want to look good, you want to feel good. What feels better than having underwear that, you know, pushes you up a little bit, makes you look a little bit longer in the sack? With wacky patterns and solid colors, MeUndies has something to fit your style. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody. I just love that MeUndies is trying. They're giving you options. I think that their designs are fun. Even without the push-up bra element for it, the contoured, you know, pouch, just having like a bright design is just fun. It's a big reveal. Good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order, plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/feather. That's MeUndies.com/feather for 20% off, plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Mailbag. Codependent friendship advice. I love these types of questions. I love a friend question. I met my bestie, let's call her Rachel, through a mutual friend, let's call her Lily, almost 3 years ago. Even though I knew Lily first, Rachel and I had more in common and immediately hit it off. That's understandable. Sometimes, I think adult friends especially, you have way more in common. Lily, you might have met college, you guys were living college style, and then suddenly you go meet this new person, Rachel, you're like, oh wow, like, let's hang out. Before long, we were hanging out, just us two, at least once or twice a week. Meanwhile, we were introducing each other to other friends and eventually developed what we thought was a core group. Lily didn't like that. So Lily's the original friend. She quickly became very jealous and through a dramatic series of events ended up accusing me of stealing her best friend and cutting us off, taking a few people from our core group with her. This is messy. The narrative Lily created was that me and Rachel were trying to be the center of attention and surrounding ourselves with accessory people. I mean, this is so deep into the weeds of feeling badly. Like the accusation that you two wanted a bunch of yes people. This is, it's weird to me because it's not like Rachel and this emailer like hired everyone at their company. Like if someone told me that I was in a group of friends and they're like, you're only here because those two wanted you to make them the center of attention, I'd be like, am I a loser? Like I'd be offended as a side friend. Wouldn't you be like, oh my God, like why am I, wait a minute, does everyone think of me as a side friend? I thought I was a main character in my movie. The way I saw it, however, was Lily acting out of jealousy and not thinking straight. I love her and her never wanted us to stop talking. The time frame for all this was about 1 year from when I met Rachel to when Lily cut us off. Okay, so she meets Rachel. Her and Rachel start hanging out. They create a big core group of people. Lily gets mad, saying that they only did this to make themselves the center of attention and then ran away a year ago. Fast forward. Rachel and I are closer than ever. People jokingly call her my wife. When I go on dates, I tell guys that they have to be my side piece because Rachel is my real soulmate. Okay. Things have escalated. Get it? I get it. It's gotten weird. My therapist believes we're pretty codependent at this point and is working with me to create some boundaries, which, no surprise, she doesn't like. I know that no matter how much I enjoy our bond, I need more than one person in my life. I want to meet a partner. I want other close friends, and it's now become clear that my relationship with Rachel is preventing me from developing connections with others. That happened quick. Also, it kind of makes sense that Lily took their friendship getting, you know, it makes sense that Lily saw her friendship with Rachel changing and felt really bad about it because obviously you two were getting very close and maybe she leaned on Rachel too. Maybe Rachel's that type of person that's easy to lean on. Maybe Rachel doesn't mind being codependent and is maybe more of a caretaker. So people, you know, when Lily lost her, she lost her care. It makes a little more sense. My question to you are now that I'm seeing the codependent nature of our friendship, do you think it's possible to change our dynamic and make it healthier for both of us? See, this is pretty vague, so I don't know what Rachel does for you that makes your life worse off. As far as Lily and my other lost friendships go, do you think it's worth my while to reach out to any of them and try to reconnect? I do miss them. I miss the group we had. I miss having more than one bestie, and I want my life to be a lot more multifaceted than it is currently. I'm 33, single, and fairly new in my career. I want to network and meet as many people as possible. I want to thrive, and I'm wondering if my best friend is holding me back. Please give me your take on this. Well, you're noticing an issue, so it's an issue. I think the solution to me, and this is easier to say than to do, whenever I have a issue that feels emotional, I try to put math on it. So like, if I were you, maybe you and Rachel only hang once every other week. Maybe you don't talk on the phone every day. Maybe you say to Rachel, hey, I'm trying to like, I would have a talk with Rachel. Does it feel like we secluded ourselves? A year's gone by since Lily and the crew kind of removed themselves from us. Also, it sounds like more people went with Lily than you kind of said in the beginning of this email. More people were convinced that you two were being the center of attention. More people, and again, this is to go back to like, I'm a side character. Like more people probably thought, oh yeah, I'm not getting a lot out of this. I am serving both Rachel and the emailer. And they're having their fun friendship time and I'm just kind of here. So I am going to go to the friendships that will fulfill me and feel good. So I think maybe you're seeing that Lily wasn't all that wrong. Again, Lily obviously felt that her needs weren't being taken care of. And your friendship with Rachel was to blame for that. I don't know much more. This was kind of vague. I do think if your therapist is telling you that this is codependent, I don't know. That codependent thing, I'm always like, is that a bad thing? You meet these like, what do they say? They have like, you know, codependency is called it when it's bad. And then the minute it's like an old married couple, they're like, they have shared brain. When one old couple dies, the other one's lost without them because they don't know where the scissors are. The primary distinction between dependent personality disorder and codependent people is the nature of the relationship. Codependent individuals tend to display dependent traits focused on a specific person, while dependent personality disorder refers to dependent traits towards others in general. Yeah, I guess that explains something. I don't know. signs of a codependent relationship. Providing money to support a habit. Denying the problem. Well, denying the problem, that should come later, right? Avoiding conflict at all costs, even if it means denying that there is even a problem. This sign feels like something that isn't really helping. Saying yes to your loved ones when you want to say no. Yeah. Providing care for the person when addiction symptoms present physically. Putting your partner's needs above your own. Neglecting your own self-care and needs. I don't know enough. What I would say to this person is, you got to go talk to your friend Rachel. Hey, I'm noticing, I would say that I'm feeling secluded. That would be my thing. I'm feeling removed from other relationships, and I don't know if you even have to do that. I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that. I'd be like, I would say, hey, let's go to once a week with hangouts with Rachel, or once every other week. You're an adult. You're in your 30s. You can't have that much time. I would make it a goal of mine once a week to reach out to someone new, have interactions with someone new. Let's make it math. That makes it easier. And again, this is easier said than done. I would go to Lily. I would go, hey, I would love to reconnect with you. I would love to talk. Have a coffee. I would tell her that it feels very secluded, just me and Rachel, and I feel badly about how things ended. And I would get her side of things. I think after a year, and you realizing with a therapist that this is a codependent relationship, I think maybe you would see her perspective a little differently. Maybe you'd see that she goes, you know, I felt like this was a person who I was codependent with, who was caring for me, that you were taking from me. Now I was getting less of that. And I was being left out. You know, you might hear something from their side that's different. Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one because I don't have specifics like to say. Like, I have friends that I go out and drink with. I guess that would be a codependency because they're allowing me to drink with them. And they're allowing me to go, yeah, you should have a drink. Am I describing this wrong? I don't know. I'm trying to personalize it. And then I would understand that, like, if a year went by and the only person I drink with is one other person, all my friends, I got no one else to talk to, and I'm not going on dates because the only night a week that I go out is this one friend who I'll get drinks with who will get drunk and make me feel like not a bad person, I would go, oh, I am wasting my time with this person. And you say you're new to your career field, I think they said. I'm new in my career field. I want to network and meet as many people as possible. Again, let's make it math. I would do, even if you had like a standing appointment with Rachel, that could be good. Sundays, it's Rachel and me time. We do our thing. We do our fun dance in the middle of the circle like no one's watching. And then the rest of your week, you got to do other things. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Keep sending in your emails. We want those emails. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Let's go to the... Oh, we're in Patreonville already. Or are we already there? We're heading to Patreon. Before we head to Patreon, sign up. You get the end of the episode. Patreon.com/JaredFreed. We're going to be doing another luxury lounge about buffets. And then I'm going to do some news. We got some news items. We're going to go over them. So sign up for Patreon. It's $5 a month. It gets you extra the end of every episode, plus a new coffee with J Train. There I talked about my birthday. By this time I'll have another new one out. So go to Patreon.